French, who will speak on Friedrich's ataxia, what's new.
Thank you very much. I'll thank Harry as well for the years of service while I've been on the Medical Research Advisory Board. He's always done a very wonderful job of things. So, yes, I can talk about Friedrich's ataxia. On my first slide, please. So this is meant to be an update on Friedreich's ataxia, realizing that it is a genetically distinct ataxia. So what I'm going to say today is clearly most relevant to those individuals who have Friedreich's ataxia, but has some general applicability to all the other individuals in the world. As I'm sure you realize, Friedreich's ataxia is one of the more common ataxias with an incidence in Caucasians about 1 in every 40,000, or a carrier frequency of about 1 in every 100 individuals. The onset is quite variable, classically being associated with childhood onset in the first or second decades of life, but having individuals present with onset as old as age 75 within their natural history study. On average, people are wheelchair bound sometime in their 20s with a large amount of variability. Cardiac disease and myocardial failure, congestive heart failure, as well as arrhythmias, is the major cause of mortality in roughly 60 to 70% of individuals. Now, Friedreich's ataxia has a unique neurological distribution. It affects a relatively few number of cells and tracts in the nervous system. It's a disease initially, at least, of large sensory neurons, those which are concerned with what we call proprioception, knowing where your joints are in space. As you heard from some of the individuals involved in the engineering aspects of ataxia yesterday, knowing where your limbs are in space and this proprioception is crucial to development of balance. This also gives rise to the characteristic loss of reflexes in people with Friedreich's ataxia. Later, probably, you go on to lose your spinal cerebellar tracts, which carry the information up the spinal cord to your brain. There's a loss of the motor tracts and motor weakness to a smaller degree. There's loss that we appreciate more and more of the dentate nucleus of the cerebellum, where all the signals coming out of the cerebellum are integrated. This gives rise to slurred speech in particular, as well as the eye movement abnormalities that are largely related to the dentate nucleus and not to the spinal cord and peripheral nerve. And then there are a few other very specific abnormalities. Loss of hearing, loss of vision, which are attributable to some very small regions in the nervous system. Overall, though, I'm talking about maybe 2% of the neurons dying in Friedreich's ataxia and maybe only about 10% of the motor tracts. So the thing which is the most important to characterize, to act upon, is the fact that there's so much nervous system still there. Now, it is a multi-system disease. As I mentioned, the major cause of mortality is cardiomyopathy. This is eventually hypertrophic, that is, the heart gets thicker and thicker. And perhaps as a related, but perhaps as a separate phenomenon, it eventually becomes big and baggy and stops pumping as opposed to pumping too much. This can give rise to abnormal heart rhythms called arrhythmias. In 1981, it was estimated the mean age of death in Friedreich's ataxia was 37, mainly related to cardiac abnormalities. We performed this retrospectively in 2011 and discovered that the median age of death remains about 35, and the major cause of death remains cardiac abnormalities. Thus, the improvements of the 80s and 90s did not change the mortality, but we're hopeful that developments in recent years will do so. There's also a component of diabetes and Friedreich's ataxia, with about 20% of the people becoming diabetic over the course of their lifetime. This is a mixture of insulin resistance, that is, you don't react to insulin, as well as insulin lack. So it's type 2 and type 1, so I call it type 1.8. Some people have visual dysfunction in Friedreich's ataxia that comes from loss of the cells of the retina. We will come back to why that might be important later. About 50% of people get scoliosis and require surgery for correction. Fatigue, being a mitochondrial disease, a disease of energy production, is a major component of the disease in Friedreich's ataxia and affects quality of life substantially. Now, as Harry alluded to, we got somewhat lucky in this disorder and that we discovered early on what the genetic abnormality was. On both copies of a gene, which we now call FXN, which codes for the protein we call frataxin, really clever, there's an expanded GAA repeat. A normal level will be from 7 to 30. And people with Friedreich's ataxia, it will go somewhere between 40 and 1500. What this does is it keeps a person from making this protein we call frataxin. Frataxin, this is its structure. You don't need to know that for your test later. But we know that it does go to the mitochondria involved in energy production, and specifically making a type of enzyme called an iron sulfur cluster containing enzyme. In a few other individuals, there are specific point mutations in the gene which act slightly differently. So we knew the genetic abnormality early, and as Harry mentioned, we got very quickly to what the function was likely to be, although we continually reinvestigate this to improve our ideas on this. These GA repeated expansions decrease the amount of frataxin a person's making, but they do not eliminate it. This is simply a gene being turned off, so one rational approach to therapy is let's turn it back on. The other thing to know is that the longer these repeats are, the more they disrupt the making of frataxin, and consequently, they correlate, the length of them correlates with the age of onset. The longer it is, the worse your disease. New findings on the genetics of FA. I mentioned that about 5% of individuals, 3-5% of individuals, depending on the study, don't carry two of these long GA repeatlings. They carry one long GA repeatling, and then a single misspelling within the gene called a point mutation, which gives rise to the disease phenotype. We know now there's actually another form of genetic mutation, which is a large deletion, where a portion of the gene is actually missing. Why should anyone care? Well, about once or twice a year, we will meet a person who says, you know, I look like I have Friedreich ataxia, but the genetic test came back negative in some way, where it looked like I was just a carrier and I didn't have one of these point mutations. What you most likely have is a deletion, which is not tested for by any of the commercial genetic tests outside one which I know. So if you are one of those individuals, or if you know one of those individuals who has only one abnormality, please refer them to me so that we can most likely find their deletion, which does tell us more about the disease in general. Now here you see the internationally renowned, world-famous Farrah pipeline that Harry set me up for. I guess Peter Todd set me up for this before. This is the October 2012 version, so it is somewhat behind. The important things to notice are, you get toward the top, those are things which are getting closer to clinical trials and clinical therapy. You go toward the bottom, these are different, they're less far, and along the x-axis are the types of therapies. Do not worry about the details, but realize the diversity of approaches, and that's one thing, is that you have to be studying everything at every level to get the best possible method of treatment and move research forward as fast as possible across everyone, because you never know where you're going to find something that fundamentally doesn't work to be somewhat of a nihilist. So this is that pipeline. It's pretty full, but you have to realize that, as Harry mentioned, you get to this through years of basic science work. And for Friedreich ataxia, we talk about, you might say, a linear approach to try and develop new therapies. At the beginning, is we know that this starts with lack of frataxin. Well, let's find a way to make more, either by turning the gene back on, or by revving up its transcription, or finally by introducing a new gene back in. The next thing that happens is that these